agenda paper 12 is to finalize the tentative agenda decision in regard to accounting for term structured repo transactions. The submitter asked the committee to clarify whether three different transactions should be counted for separately or be aggregated and treated as a single derivative. In addition, the submitter asked how an entity should interpret and apply paragraph B.6 of guidance on implementing IS 39, which provides guidance on whether non-derivative transactions should be aggregated and treated as a derivative. We received four comment letters, and in addition, after this paper was posted, we received one more comment letter, which is not included in this paper. The hard copies of this letter has been distributed today to committee members as agenda paper 12A. This letter has also been posted on the public ISB website yesterday. I will talk about the last comment letter later in my presentation. Among the four commentators, two agreed with the committee's decision and two disagreed. As you can see, issue A in this paper, one commentator argued that the submitter's issue should be reconsidered because the submission provides sufficient information. We note that the tentative agenda decision can be read to suggest that if the committee is provided with all relevant facts about the transactions, it could determine whether the submitter's transactions should be accounted for separately or aggregated. However, we think that the committee is not supposed to provide guidance on the accounting for such a specific transactions as the submitter's one. So we think that we can address the commentator's concern by modifying the wording of the tentative agenda decision. So we deleted the first sentence of the second paragraph of the tentative agenda decisions, as you can see in Appendix A of this paper. The two commentators who disagreed with the decision said that more guidance on accounting for synthetic derivatives should be provided in the standard. We think that a project of developing additional guidance on accounting for synthetic derivatives would be beyond the scope of the Interpretations Committee. This is because such a project would require considering a wide range of different synthetic derivatives and thus might involve a review of other relevant requirements in the standards. We also considered other comments as described in issue C and issue D of this paper, but we do not think that it is necessary to reflect the comments as noted in our analysis. The fifth letter that we received after the comment period agreed with the committee's decision not to take this issue to its agenda. In addition, it proposed adding a paragraph to the final agenda decision. The proposed paragraph relates to clarifying the meaning of substantive business purpose. We think that this can be virtually considered to be adding more indicators to paragraph IGP.6 of IS 39. So we do not think that the proposed paragraph cannot be simply added to the final tentative agenda decision and would require discussion in a separate project. However, consistently with our analysis in issue B, we think that the committee would not be able to take such a project of developing additional guidance on accounting for synthetic derivatives. Consequently, we recommend that the Interpretation Committee should finalize its decision not to add this issue to its agenda. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the message here is that we could have been more careful. It wasn't that we needed more information. It was that we don't develop interpretations on specific product designs. And I say that now because there are two or three more coming down the pipe, in which we're going to need to be clear to people that, you know, we don't charge by the hour. Somebody else does product design. We don't do it. So with that, comments? Charlotte?
I mean, the only thing I'd say is I know that there is a specific, you see this as a specific product design, but it actually encompasses a wide range of products that rely on the same gap. And there is, I hate to say this, but there is a wide range of interpretation of how you look at that implementation guidance, and it varies between countrywide and different organisations. I've personally seen a lot of diversity in how that's handled. So, and the question is, if we don't look at it, is it ever going to be looked at by anyone, or are we just going to allow that diversity continue? I'm not saying the industry is seeking guidance in it to a large degree, but why would they really? But so.
Andrew?
Yeah, I agree with the final words of the agenda decision. I do have sympathy with, I think ESMA and the OIC have suggested we need some more prescriptive guidance or detailed guidance to help identify derivatives when, from a legal point of view, you've got multiple contracts. But, you know, I do see this guidance as essentially anti-abuse, anti-avoidance type guidance. And the risk is if we develop a whole bunch, or someone develops a whole bunch of more prescriptive indicators, requirements, that's actually just going to change the parameters of the structuring. People are going to find it actually easier to structure around that than having some broader principles which need to be applied using judgment in the context as we currently have. So
it's probably a more articulate way of putting it than I did. I'm saying Andrew spoke more clearly than I did and was more articulate in saying what I thought was my opinion. Vincent?
I concur with the comments of Charlotte and Andrew. I wanted to highlight that this IG, which is the basis, so the only basis for such kind of structuration, is not endorsed in Europe. And we wonder, I acknowledge that the fact pattern is very specific, I wonder to what extent maybe it would be useful maybe to pass the message to the ESP that maybe there is here a topic where it would be interesting to reflect further to avoid a structuring operation on this issue, because I understand that indeed there are universities in practice.
Scott? I agree with Andrew. I think that, you know, this is a structuring issue, and whatever guidance we put out would essentially be don't do bad things. And, you know, trying to do that is, you know, going down the rabbit hole pretty quick. So I agree that we ought not do this. On the other hand, I do wish to help the regulators who need to root out bad behavior, abusive behavior. So it turns out that, you know, the regulators are having problems with abusive forms of this transaction. I just wonder how we can help, if there is a way we can do it.
Without going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's face it, when, you know, the SEC has a mentality of these things, just saying no. You know, at the SEC, for better or for worse, and when it comes to this kind of thing, there isn't a need to point to which sentence in literature says you can't do it. The SEC just kind of calls a sham. So this is a sham. We're not letting you get away with it. I'm not sure if that level of authority exists with other regulators. And when I said I'm not sure, I was, you know, just kind, but let's put it this way. Some regulatory authorities don't have the ability to do what I just described that the SEC does when they see something that they believe is a sham. And I wonder if there's something we can do to help the regulators to deal with bad behavior without, you know, teeing up, okay, every instrument you come up with, send it up here and we'll draw the lines, because that doesn't work.
We had such good luck with the accounting estimates one earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony?
I support where the staff's got to for all the reasons everybody else has said. I just wondered one thing. We may have talked about it before and I can't remember. In the first paragraph on page 10, it says, to determine whether to account for the three transactions, a single derivative reference may be made. Since that's the only on-point literature, I wonder if the use of the word may suggests, well, you could look at the only on-point literature, or in fact, you could ignore it altogether. And so I wondered whether that word should be stronger than may.
Agree.
Should.
That was the word that occurred to me.
Yes.
Point taken. Don?
The question was, how can we help the regulator, what we see now, and it was also cited by Vincent. The only guidance we have is not in the standard. It is in the implementation guidance and an example, and there is not a strong basis for enforcement. So the regulators will be helped if that will be transferred at least to the standard. So that's not that difficult.
Philippe? Umar, what happens to the IGs with IFRS 9? There will be no IGs. So what will happen to this guidance? It will disappear if we don't do something to incorporate it in the standard or in the well, we don't have application.
We do have some of these.
Yeah, but no implementation guidance. So I think we'll even lose that basis. You will with IFRS 9. Yeah, it's risk.
Yes. We are going through these things one by one, Philippe, to see how far we can incorporate it, what are the things we are there. But you're right, absolutely not all the IGs will move in to IFRS 9 when the new standard comes in. But we'll certainly have a look which ones are relevant. Some of these are being considered, but we will not be bringing them. I got the message.
Is it already?
You didn't miss that one.
Okay. I hear general agreement. Any objections? Oh, on the phones. Fei Long? John?
No objections, although I am concerned about changing the reference to should, because the implementation guidance is not part of the standard, so I'm not sure we can say that some reference should be made to it, because I'm not sure that it has to be made to it.
Are you saying you get... This is going to sound more pejorative. Are you saying you get to ignore it?
Well, let me answer that with a question. What's the status of the implementation guidance in IAS 39?
Well, I would have taken Tony's point that if it's the only thing that's on point, at a minimum, you'd have to have an awfully, awfully good alternative view that wasn't considered by the people who wrote it in the first place. And I don't think it creates a free choice. So I'm not troubled by should, but I don't get to vote. It's up to you guys. Kumar, you wanted to come in?
I can understand where John is coming from, because the IGCs were never approved, but I do have sympathy from where you're coming. This is the relevant guidance, and this is where I think I would look at if I was looking at these transactions. But again, as I would say, that's the view.
My thinking was, well, you can't just ignore it.
Now, maybe to John's point, it's not part of the standard, but it's not something I would have thought you can just ignore.
Maybe you
should
write it.
Yeah.
I'm running the question of how non-authoritative the non-authoritative stuff is.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I was just saying we should just phrase, like Tony said, in looking at this transaction, an entity should not ignore paragraph B6 and C6.
Okay. I'll go with should not ignore. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to comment, you know, the wording at the moment is reference should be made. I mean, that's making sure that you read what's there and consider it.
Yeah.
And that seems sufficient.
That's sufficient.
Should not be ignored. Should be made. Should is fine. Should be.
And Kumar, you can do the broad project on synthetic derivatives tomorrow afternoon in your free time.
I'll get it done in one day.
Philippe?
Just to make sure I understand what we are doing here, we have May in two paragraphs. The first one refers to paragraphs B6 and C6 of IAS 39, And here clearly it's not made, must be should. And then we have a second paragraph which says, relates to IGB6. Are we also going to replace may with should?
No.
Or this one?
No, not there. We've already required, said people should look at it in the paragraph above, and then this paragraph below is just acknowledging that it therefore may be helpful. I think that's sufficient. That's okay.
Well, let's say should be considered.
Well, we've already asked them to consider it in the first paragraph by making reference to it.
I mean, the sentence says also noted that indicators in paragraph IGB6 of IS39 may help the entity to determine. This is what it is currently. Not what it says, those indicators should be considered when determining the substance of the transaction. Rather than may. Consider is what makes you decide, but I think at least you should consider as a minimum, and then you decide whether or not it is a single transaction or several transactions. But just to say that they may help, I mean, we are certainly expected to help.
I think the sense of the committee was just to change the one. There are actually two or three more episodes of the word may, and one more in that paragraph. My sense of the committee is just to change the one. Okay. All right, we're close to break time. My pen has just fallen apart, and which is not of itself a reason, but we're scheduled to take a break about now. We are also now running behind. Michael and I have talked about, based on our experience yesterday, that the defined benefit issues may be the ones that chew up the most time. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to change the running order. Okay. All right, let's get back quarter two.